Welcome to Lawyer Business Advantage. This podcast is dedicated to helping attorneys earn more money, get better clients, and spend more time with family. I'm your host, Ale Yajnik, founder of Law Firm Success Group. Smart business guidance for small law firms begins in 3, 2, 1. And it's my pleasure to welcome back to Lawyer Business Advantage, Bruce Lefatra, the client whisperer. Bruce, long time no chat.
Hey, it's always great to chat with you, Ale. Glad to be back.
I feel like we were doing this just a few minutes ago. I can't imagine why. So we're going to turn the page here. Last episode, we talked about the expert trap and the difference between experts and advisors. We're going to jump into a little bit of a different take on things, which is really talking about sales and how to do that by looking at the offer and some other things about it. And it's interesting because oftentimes, you know, your sale, whether it's successful or not successful, or whether it's as profitable as it can be or not, a lot of that actually happens before the sale even takes place. And so, Bruce, I love little rules. You know, we have the 20-10-5 rule, which I've talked about a lot on the podcast. You have something called the 40-40-20 rule. So tell us about what you do, and then tell us about the 40-40-20 rule.
Real quick, what I do is I help professional firms, good professional firms, not broken ones, good, the ones at the top of their game, get even better by attracting more of their best clients. And their best clients are the ones that they would clone if they could. And if you can work with more of your best clients, think about the 20% that create 80% of your profit. Well, there's the bottom 20% cause 80% of your headaches. And everyone thinks they have to cast a wider net and they get some of this, some of that. If you could zero in and instead of having 20% of them be your best clients, 40, 60, 80% of them be your best clients, you have virtually no headaches and you have highly profitable clients that work well with you. Your life is a dream for a lot of people because you're having all the success, but you're not the grind and the stress that is so prevalent in the legal marketplace. That comes from those headache clients.
Life is too short to work with bad clients. It really is.
Well, but people say fire your bad clients. Well, they should never become, they fire bad prospects. They should never become clients. And the cool part is that they're not bad people. A lot of times your bottom clients, I always call them bottom clients, not bad clients. Your bottom clients are someone else's best clients because it's not so much about the work that's being done. It's about the fit. And so if you're a high touch client and I'm a low touch provider, there's going to be a clash there because I'm going to just say, Ale, I've done this for decades. Will you just do it? And you're going to say, I need to know why. And likewise, if you're low touch client and I'm a high touch provider, we're going to be just as out of sync because I'm going to want to, it's my mission. I have to explain things to you because it's just, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't. And you're saying, just tell me what to do. Can we get on with this? And so that says nothing about the quality of the client. It's just the match. And that's so much of the source of stress and anxiety and things that people have.
Got it. And so that is, so how does that fit into the 40-40-20 rule?
Oh, so the 40-40-20 rule is actually comes out of a different area of marketing, but I've kind of repurposed it for professional services. Before I worked with professional services back early in my career, I did a lot of product marketing, product management, product marketing for various types of products and services. And I had a couple of clients tell me, it's like, Bruce, what you do is product marketing for professional services. And that really is what I do because you talked about, you know, some of the sales challenges. Most of those challenges can be minimized if you start early in the process. And the early part of the process is positioning. And positioning is, you know, what's your offer and who do you offer it to and how do you communicate that? So the 40-40-20 rule is that 40% of your success comes from having the right offer. Now, your offer is not what you do. Your offer is what the client takes away from working with you. It's what they can do because of what you do. I call it your impact. So it's not I always use the example of a contract. It's not the contract. It's what the business owner can do with that contract. What's the value? That's your offer. And people don't talk about it that way. The next 40% is 40% of your success is talking to the right audience. The right audience is not who you can help, all the people. It's the people that when you meet them, they're going to say, You get me. They're going to be the ones that are a great fit. They also have the need, but they're going to be a great fit for you. That's the right audience. And then the last 20% is the content, the right content. Now, you can't get to the right content if you don't have the right offer and the right audience in mind. And yet, so many business owners, we could probably name some without too much trouble, spend 70, 80, 90% of their time, effort, and money trying to do the content without thinking about the offer or the audience. Doesn't work out well.
No, it doesn't. And if I'm an owner of a law firm and I'm trying to actually apply this rule, how do I know if I have the right offer, the right audience, the right content, or how do I know that one of those things is off?
So the right, let's just be clear on semantics here. The right is not the correct offer. The right is that you are speaking to the offer that provides value for your clients. So instead of trying to pick through the assortment of what your offers could be, what is it? It's descriptive that you are talking about what it is that you create value from.
So basically you're talking about the impact that you're going to have on the client. To your point about the contract, you're not talking about the contract, you're talking about what the contract does for the client.
Yeah, and think about a lot of attorneys and that they think about the tasks. This is what we do. Our offers that we have this quality control process for the legal documents that we do. And that's important. That's how you deliver. That's how you avoid malpractice. But that's not what clients are paying you for. They're paying you for what they can do as a result of that delivery. Think about the offer, what you do is the vehicle, but the impact is what people take away, and that's the value.
Yeah, and I think attorneys are actually, I mean, depends a little bit on your practice area, but attorneys are actually in a better position to have this conversation than a lot of other business people out there because, clients don't understand the minutiae of the law. And so they are generally coming to an attorney with a result in mind, like, hey, I need to have a divorce, or I really need to get this dispute resolved, or my employee's suing me. I've got to address that. There are generally outcome-related issues that the client has, which is why they're hiring you in the first place. So attorneys are well positioned to actually have that conversation.
Well, think about that from the divorce. So let's take a crazy non, B2B kind of example. It's not crazy for family law attorneys, but divorce. What is the outcome? What is the impact that your client wants? Well, there's some legal things that have to go with separating property and doing the legal stuff, but some people want to, I want them to I want them to get nothing
Yeah,
because
they want to fight.
I don't care if I have to spend twice as much as they're not going to get. And other people, and a lot more people, want to get some resolution. They want to be treated fairly. They don't want to, be taken advantage of. They want to be treated fairly, but they want to get resolution so they can move on with their life. Those are very, very different types of clients, and the impact is very different. The legal work may not be that different.
Though it often is.
Though it may often is, but it's directed by the impact as opposed to starting with the task. This is the process we do, and then we spit out the impact at the end. No, think with the end in mind.
Yeah, and to your point, there are law firms that, in family law are known for fighting. So, I mean, if you want to fight, there are firms that are branded that way, and that's what they do. And if you want like a mediation or an alternative form of approach that's not as confrontational, there's firms that are branded that way as well. So, those firms are following that rule.
Yeah, and I had someone that, we're both provisors. I had someone that came from via a friend that was looking for a family law attorney. And that was one of the first questions I asked is, do you want, a bulldog who's going to just fight, or do you want to talk to these family members when it's all done? It wasn't a divorce in this case. And they said, we just want it to be done, and we don't care about the relationship. So they got a different referral than they would have gotten if they said, no, we still want to, treat them as family. We just want to get this resolved.
Got it. And so we've talked about offer, we've talked about audience. Let's talk about content.
Yeah. So content really is needs to reflect the offer and the audience. Who are you? What is the impact that working with you will have? And who will you have that impact for? And now you communicate that. That's way different than the what I call casting a wider net of this is, we are this kind of, we're a family law attorney or we're IP attorney. Well, those are very, very broad task-related Let's talk about what it is that you're trying to, and what are you trying to communicate? So communicate the offer, communicate the audience that's right for you, that's going to be that match. And the content should communicate to people so they say, you get me. And now you're starting to attract the people that are going to be future best clients, the ones you will want to clone, and the ones that, wow, okay, he's really expert, but I just don't feel the fit. That's great that they're not coming to you and wasting your time. Or worse, becoming a client that now causes you to work in a way that's not comfortable for you or for them. So you never have that trust that makes so much valuable. And now it's just a job. You're just cranking out tasks. And most of us are far enough into our careers that we're past wanting to do that.
For sure.
We want to create real impact and have people, create value, and people say, wow, our business is better, or my life is better because I worked with you.
So I guess the message behind the rule is that, the 40-40-20 is that having the right offer and the right audience is most important, and having the right content is important, but maybe not as important as the other two.
Well, it's really important because that's what people see. But if you don't build on the right foundation, it's the house on sand. You could have a fabulous house, but if it's built on a foundation of sand, it's not going to be effective. And so think of it as much in sequence. And then also think about it in terms of offer. What is the right offer? It's not what you do. Audience is not who all we could talk to. And then what it does is it gets you into content that is very much more direct. You don't have to try to be clever. You're not trying to talk over the crowd. How do we get people's attention when everyone sounds the same? Because you're not talking to the crowd. You're talking to a much narrower path. And people say, well, now I've narrowed my market. How will I,
Yes,
how I pay
that's a
the
big
bills?
concern.
But think about it from a standpoint of when you know what you're looking for, it's a lot easier to find. So say that, you've never seen a red Tesla or a, I don't know, great, whatever, And then you start looking, all of a sudden, wow, they're everywhere. Well, it's not that they suddenly popped up, it's just that you're looking for them.
Sure. And it's a reticular activating system, and all that good stuff.
And
Let's.
if your client is you're looking for clients, it's really hard to find really great ones. If you know X, Y, and Z about the clients, now it's much more easy to find them.
It really is. The idea of niching down makes so much sense and focusing your efforts. I want to, before we jump into that, and you and I have talked about it before, and I'm always happy to have the conversation with you. Let's talk about how having the right offer and the right audience leads to clients who are going to pay more. That may not be obvious to the attorney entrepreneurs who are listening.
Okay, yeah, I think about it all the time. So thank you for pulling that in. So when you have the right, and I'll go back to my best clients. So best clients are the ones that if you had a magic wand, you would clone. They're the ones that, there's a great fit. They get you. You're doing your best work. You enjoy the style. And the fit is a huge part of this. This is the high touch, low touch, or whatever you want to say. They're just a dream to work with. Well, those people value you. You are rarely, you're usually in a more proactive role with them. So you're talking about impact as opposed to just the stuff you do. And now you're actually improving their life or their business. So in the case of divorce, you're improving their life because if their goal is, yeah, I don't want to be taken advantage of, but I need to get I want to get on with my life. I'm 35 years old. I have a lot of life ahead of me. I don't want this hanging over me for the rest of my life. That could be a bankruptcy. That could be tax problems. On the positive side, it could be contracts or things that allow you to move forward. And when you're starting to do that, you're much more valuable. And so one, these future best clients, when you encounter them, they buy faster because there's clear alignment. When they say, you get me, that's a sign of trust. That can make the process go really remarkably quick. They value what your impact is, and impact is always more valuable than the component parts because the sum is greater than the collection of the parts here. And so they're thinking in terms of impact. And so that's the $10 million business I'm going after, and the contract is really important with my joint venture partner. Now we're talking about $10 million as what is the goal, as opposed to you're going to charge me $500 for how many hours? That's a cost. So you've moved from cost to impact. So they will be willing to pay you more. It's not that you're cheating them into paying you more. They're seeing a greater value and they're happy to pay that. And then they become more referable, which is, an after effect because they understand the what makes the relationship special.
Yeah, in some sense, this is really intuitive. I mean, if you work with clients that you love and that love you back, and clients that you do great work for, and clients that trust you and you enjoy working with them as well, you kind of trust them as well to be great clients. It's a great relationship. And if you're good at what you do, that's going to result in a fantastic outcome. And that's how, you can get more referrals, as well as more ongoing client work at a higher rate, because now you're not a commodity. Now you've differentiated yourself.
And you're not differentiating yourself because of different tasks. You're differentiating yourself because you're aligned and you're helping them achieve goals.
So all of that makes lots of sense intuitively. Tell us a little bit about maybe an anecdote or a story that you've had where you've had a client who, ideally a law firm, that was maybe not doing this so well, and you worked with them, you helped them, and some of the insights from your work helped them to change.
Sure. One I'm thinking about is actually a tax controversy, a boutique firm. So, a handful of attorneys and really, really good at what they do. They could be experts, any day of the week, to go back to the previous conversation. And I met them right after they had rebranded the firm with a new website and they were happy with the leads they were getting off of the website. And he was saying, oh, it's good to meet you, but, I don't need what you do. And so I said, well, tell me about some of the leads you're getting, so the clients you're getting from the website. And he talked about they'd actually hired another person to sort through the leads because they had to sort through all the the tire kickers and the people that weren't good. And there weren't that many really great clients coming out of it. And I said, well, now tell me about if I give you a magic wand and you could clone a client, tell me about them. And he started to get excited about this client. And the clients that they really love to work with are the small businesses that had a made a bad decision. There was a cash crunch, and do I pay the tax, the Department of Revenue, or do I pay my employees? I'm going to pay my employees. As we know, then snowballs creates a big problem. But they're not bad people. They made a bad decision, and they're now paying the consequences. And so he tells me the story and how he helped them and kept them, from, having to go through bankruptcy. And yeah, they lost a lot of equity, but the businesses there, the employees all kept their jobs. And wonderful story. And I said, where'd that come from? And he goes, well, it came from a CPA referral. I go, do you get a lot of those? And he goes, the ones I get are really great, but I don't know how to get more of them. And so I pointed out that he had just spent a boatload of money to try to attract clients he doesn't really want. Meanwhile, he's just taking for granted the clients he really wants, waiting for serendipity. So he said, okay, maybe we need to talk. And what came out of that was that we refocused and really understood the secret sauce, which was really working with, small business owners that, good people have made a bad decision and now, it's snowballed, not the scofflaws or the people that are trying to cheat and those sorts of things. And we really focused it on his referral partners, on the CPAs and wealth advisors and other attorneys that could vet clients and send him future best clients. And the website became a different role. The website became one to reinforce that because let's face it, most of these people check you out on your website or your LinkedIn before they call you. And so to make sure that that message was one clear to his referral partners, which it wasn't, then when the potential client checks them out, was seeing the same message about offer and audience and why they, how they create impact. And then their intake meeting was along the same lines. We now know what they heard from our referral partner. We know what they read about us. We're going to stay in that character as opposed to talk to them about all the other stuff we do. That comes back to our expert trap conversation. And that is way more effective for them. Now they've also retooled the website now to make it much more tailored. So it's not casting a wide net, it's throwing some spears as well for some. So people, they get people much higher quality, maybe not as good as the referrals coming in, but they're not getting tire kickers. And in fact, they do not do free consultations. They don't have to. They're dealing with people that are coming in pre-vetted, that have a need and are looking for value and been told that this firm provides that kind of value and impact. So if someone's, calls up and says, I want a free consultation, it's like, we're not your firm.
That's a fantastic story, Bruce. And just a couple things that.
Fantastic firm, too.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I didn't make them better lawyers. What I did was get them better clients so they can do what they do well more often.
So I think that's what comes out for me from that is a couple things had to happen with that firm. One is they had to recognize that their marketing efforts were bringing in the wrong kind of client. Number two, they had to believe that they could actually bring in the right kind of client, that they didn't have to accept clients that sucked. And, you know, that phrase, have your cake and eat it too, is something that, you know, is kind of a trite phrase, but I use it a lot when we work with our clients. I know you use it a lot when you work with your clients. That is a lot of it, right? It's understanding that, yeah, my situation can actually get better and I don't have to accept a compromise. And then the third piece is it's hard to do all of that when you're internally, when you're in the firm trying to think and see all of those things. That's what helps to bring in an outside person like yourself who can really be objective in both in working with clients and in client interviews, as well as in working with the law firm to tell them how they need to change things.
Well, and just a real quick note on that in terms of, yeah, they knew the work they did. They knew, you know, the results they got. They knew actually the stories that I heard from their clients, but they always thought about it in terms of like legal, technical, this is their situation. We need to stop the collection and those kinds of things. And I told them stories about the one business owner who got a call from the State Department of Revenue while she was driving and they said, well, you need to pay up by Tuesday. And this was Thursday. And she goes, I can't do that. And they hung up on her. And she just pulled over and cried for a long time. And when I told them that story, they said, yeah, we'd heard that story, but we were thinking about, oh, we need to stop the collection and things like that, as opposed to where she was emotionally. And they're not trying to be, you know, psychologists or things like that, but to recognize that that's part of getting them back and making them whole and getting them, moving them forward. They do tax work to do that, but that then allows them to look for those sorts of signs with future clients, and you pause and
Love
give
that.
Them some space. And
yes.
That makes them, you know, the humans that they are, but it takes them out of being, you know, the tax nerds.
So attorney entrepreneurs, if you're listening to this, my advice to you is don't settle. If you're not happy with all of your clients, you can make some changes and you can have an amazing book of business filled with clients that you enjoy. That's what we do at Law Firm Success Group. That's what our clients have done. And a lot of it is due to the work that people like Bruce LaFedra can do for us. Which brings me to, Bruce, if people want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can connect with me on LinkedIn or via my website. LinkedIn, you know, Bruce LaFetra, easy to find. I'm the only one. Website for the firm is EastwoodStrategy, all spelled out, .com. And I'm Bruce at EastwoodStrategy.com. Or you can go onto the website and you can book a short conversation with me. And we can talk about your situation and see if I think I can help you and you think I can help you. Because both those have to be true.
Totally agree. Bruce, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me. Always an enjoyable conversation.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Lawyer Business Advantage Podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you tune in to listen. And I want to hear from you, so connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know what you think of this episode. And if you are a solo or an owner of a small law firm, and you're looking to earn more money, attract better clients, or reduce your stress, we would love to talk with you to see how we can help. Request your free law firm assessment by visiting lawfirmsuccessgroup.com. Again, that URL is lawfirmsuccessgroup.com. We look forward to talking with you soon. Thank you for listening. My name is Ale Yajnik. Until next time, remember, you can seize freedom. You can embrace happiness. You can build your perfect practice.